Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, are you there?
Here I am.
Okay, I'm sorry. It was not letting me. It was just doing that stuff. It's not letting me. Not letting me hit my PIN number. It was just very, very annoying. Anyway, but we. You ready?
I'm good to go. You bet.
Okay. Hi. This is Rich Myers with the National Center for Appropriate Technology. Welcome to this week's edition of ATRA, Voices from the Field. And today, we're talking with Lee Reinhardt, a program specialist with NCAT, about a new ATRA webpage that he's built entitled Ecological Fisheries and Ocean Farming. How are you doing there, Lee?
I'm doing pretty good, Rich. Thanks. How are you?
Pretty good. So, how did you get interested in sustainable seafood production?
Well, basically, I guess it comes from two points, being an agriculture, you know, specialist, extension agent, and, you know, rancher for a lot of my life. I've always had an interest in food production, in ecological management, you know, and things like that. And also for some part of my past, I worked with the commercial fisheries up in Alaska in Dutch Harbor, and worked with a lot of the pollock and crab fishermen, and just got to know them and know their way of life and the tools they used and things they did. And it just really kind of sparked my interest. So I think this is kind of a marriage of the two. It's just taking food production and farming and agriculture and policy and all of that, kind of marrying it with my love of the sea and commercial fishing and things like that, and this is what came out of it.
Excellent. But so what's the difference then between ecological fisheries management and the way we've farmed and caught fish, you know, historically?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because really that's what the web page is all about. It's about the difference. Certainly, we've been harvesting the seas for food for millennia, right? Fishing is one of the oldest professions that there is, and we've even been farming seafood for quite a while as well. Especially in some of the developing countries, we get a lot of our seafood from Asia and South America and places like that. So we've been using, you know, the resources of the sea for a long time, and as population has grown, we've put a lot of pressure on it. And
right.
So with things like overfishing, of course, we all know about overfishing, and we've heard, you know, the destruction of habitat that comes by using certain types of fishing gear and things like that. And a lot of government organizations worldwide have really tried to manage this. They've tried their best to be able to develop rules or laws or regulations in order to either limit fishing or close fishing grounds, or to do whatever they could to increase the fish catches and to make the resource a little more sustainable. But what I've kind of got really interested in was kind of looking at it and going a step further and trying to look at some opportunities and some examples of some people who were really taking the next step and trying to not only, you know, use these resources in a sustainable manner, but really to use it in a restorative manner, because the demand for seafood is increasing as population grows. You know, demand for seafood worldwide is increasing, and it's a very good source of protein, and it can provide sustenance for a lot of people. So if we have this resource, you know, how can we use it such that it's not degraded, but instead it's restored, right? And there's a lot of good farmers and practitioners who are learning how to do this on land with organic agriculture and sustainable farming methods that regenerate soils. Well, I was really interested in saying, well, you know, what's going on out there with some innovative people and organizations with trying to look at restoring the ocean or restoring our waterways and you know, making them, you know, not only produce food, you know, for the people that live in the communities around them, but to enhance water quality, to reduce, nutrient deposition in the waters, and to make it a better habitat for the wildlife that thrives in the ocean. You know, one of the things that I learned as I was doing this was that most of the sea life from the deep open ocean starts out in the estuaries. It starts out close to the land masses in shallow waters with seagrasses and kelp and things like this, and it's a natural nursery. And we've lost over 75% of our estuaries on the United States coast to either development or overfishing or for pollution or something like that. And Rich, that's 75% that we've lost,
yeah.
And that's a travesty. You know, not only does it take that resource away from the people who are using them, not only does it reduce the populations of the catchable fish or shellfish that are in those areas, but it reduces the nursery habitat for the other species that live part of their life there, right? So I just started thinking, what are some of the things that people are doing? And so I collected a list of resources for sustainable fish and shellfish farming and some really innovative examples of some small scale commercial capture fishery examples, some people who are doing it right. And striving to do it right, and kind of put them on a new website on the Atra site to kind of help people to understand what's going on and what are the resources that are out there and what if I want to get involved. So that's pretty much you know, how I got interested in it and, you know, what came about from it.
Well, can you give us some examples or an example or two about, you know, projects that kind of highlight that kind of seafood production?
Absolutely. One of the most innovative ones that really captured my attention was from a commercial fisherman turned ocean farmer named Bryn Smith. A lot of our listeners might have heard of Bryn Smith and his nonprofit organization, GreenWave. But I read an article last year and contacted him, and we had a really nice conversation, and I really learned a lot about what he's doing. But essentially what he's doing is he's taking a portion of an estuary, and he calls it 3D ocean farming, where he is growing kelp and he's growing shellfish, and he's using the whole layer of the water column. In other words, he's using everything from the top of the water all the way down to the ocean floor, and producing an awful lot of food and biomass from this what he's calling a 3D ocean farm within each year. And it's really an incredible model, such that he's developed a nonprofit to help disseminate, you know, some of the findings. I mean, he's got a lot of help with this. There's Sea Grant researchers that are helping out as well. He's using a lot of their research. There's a lot of team building going on there. And their whole goal at GreenWave is to develop 50 new ocean farmers within the next few years, and they're getting an awful lot of press, and they're getting an awful lot of interest. They've got people from all around the world who are interested in the methodology that Bryn is using. One of the things One of the things that really captivated me about Bryn's philosophy is that, you know, he wants to take the industrial model of capture fisheries and industrial aquaculture and just turn it on its head and say, you know, that's not sustainable with all the inputs and you know, producing, you know, cheap, you know, mass marketed, you know, low grade food. Instead, if we use these regenerative systems in the ocean and grow food like kelp and shellfish and things like this that actually do not require any feed inputs whatsoever because they're filter feeders, right? You can produce a lot of food and you can actually clean up the water as you're doing it. So he wants to take this industrial model and turn it on its head and say this is a zero input and this leaves the water cleaner than whenever you first started. So that's
right.
That's
and so
Greenwave.
There's more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna start over. I'm just gonna let you go, but that's Greenwave. Okay, and go on with your thought. So go ahead.
Okay. So that's Greenwave. That's a pretty innovative project that's going on. There's several other around the country. One of the things that really that I'm really excited about is the rise of community supported fisheries. Community supported fisheries are taken on the model of community supported agriculture, which of course is all about consumers and food buyers purchasing a share, you know,
right.
a share in the farm, you know, where they're going to every week they'll get you know, whatever is harvested off of the farm, a basket of goods, right? Well, the same
right.
thing's being done with fisheries, and what I love about this is it's really good for small-scale fisheries, small-scale fisher families who can find an outlet that, you know, where they can sell their fish and sell their catch. And they can do it and get a better price. They can establish a relationship with the people who are buying the food from them. And it brings people a lot closer to the coast. It brings people a lot closer to the sea, to the food that they eat there. It lets them understand the livelihood of the people that work the boats and catch the fish and sell it. And it's a really innovative idea. And again, you know, I document a lot of this on the website as well.
Right. Right. So the website's a, you know, if this is piquing somebody's interest, the website's a good place to go to get more details and more
mm-hmm.
information about this sort of stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, the new website, you know, it helps people understand how, you know, ecological fisheries work. Is the website intended for, you know, people who might be looking for an alternative to the fish that they buy that's commercially caught, or is it more for people who might be interested in doing this themselves? I mean, who's the website really intended for?
Well, I initially wrote all of the content thinking of entrepreneurs, right? This is like an entrepreneurial guide to getting started in ecological fish production, you know, or even, you know, aquatic plants like kelp, right? So that was my initial thought. And, you know, as you look at the website, there's two sections to it, one on fish and aquatic plant farming, and one on sustainable wild capture fisheries. And as you look through the website, you'll notice that there's a lot there on production resources, links to manuals, how to. There's a lot of how to stuff here, stuff to help you understand gear, equipment, processing facilities, laws, policies, regulations. Right. So there's an awful lot there,
right.
But also, as you look at it as well, I can see that it would be great also for the consumer, the person who's interested in understanding, you know, where their fish comes from, because there's an awful lot of links to videos on ecological fish management, history, what we can do to use our water resources a lot better. So it can definitely be used to, you know, for either one. But initially, right. And I think what's the strength of the website is that it's really kind of a clearinghouse of resources to help those entrepreneurs or even, you know, organizations who want to do project work. You know, they can come to this site, and it's just a repository of places to send them down the rabbit hole of everything that's going on in sustainable and restorative fish management.
Wow, that's great. Seriously, it's a kind of a new direction for ATRA. I don't believe ATRA has done fisheries in the past.
Well, not really.
That's something I should ask?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I'll start with this again. I'll just sort of say, well, yeah, that sounds really great. It's not something ATRA's done in the past, and so I'm going to give myself a little space.
Good.
Okay, well, then that sounds really great, but this fisheries isn't really something that ATRA's dealt with in the past.
Not too much. I mean, we have provided technical assistance to farmers interested in aquaculture, and we get a lot of questions
right.
about aquaponics. And hydroponics and things like that. Mm-hmm. We had a program specialist years ago who Lance Gegner, who wrote a publication on aquaculture. But as more of these projects started coming about and things like Green Wave or like a lot of the shellfish and seaweed farming work that's being done on the coast, both in the West Coast and in the East Coast, came about, you know, I saw that it was really timely to increase the offerings that we have, and it really fits in with ATRA's mission in such a remarkable way because this certainly benefits the resource, and that's certainly what we're about. We're about
right.
what are the innovative, you know, low tech, you know, appropriate technology tools that are out there to help us, you know, build communities, you know, enhance and restore the environment. You know, I mean, that's kind of that's what we're good at. We talk to farmers and ranchers every day
right.
with that. Well, ecological seafood management fits right in there because it's got benefits to society that can be really extraordinary. I mean, if we can sustainably use our ocean resources and produce, you know, food and biomass, even for fuel and things like that, with algae or seaweed, we can use a lot of the space. And granted, this is space that is not single use. This is multi-use space. I mean, some of these estuaries, you can still have you can have an underwater farm out there, and it can still be used by fishermen. It can be used by recreation. I mean, the only place you pretty much can't put it, you know, is in a channel, right? That's one of the things that we talk about on the website is what are the regulations and the policy and in order to get that done. So it's got a lot of benefits for society, providing food, providing jobs. For coastal development, you know, bringing, you know, good paying jobs and a local food infrastructure to coastal communities. I mean, that's right up ATRA's alley. That's what we do, and this is another one of those program areas, I think, that can really make an impact, and probably one of the best ways that listeners could find out more is just go on the website and look at the community supported fisheries that are listed there. You know, go to those websites and just see all of the different ways that you know, ecological fish management can impact, you know, the community.
Great. Are you working on any projects in the area right now?
I am, actually. We've got some project work out right now. We've submitted grant proposals to several organizations, USDA NIFA and to NOAA, partnering with GreenWave and with Connecticut Sea Grant, which is the kind of like just like a land grant. You've got a sea grant, right? So a land grant university has that have water education. And fisheries education have a sea grant. So we've submitted some proposal work to write some manuals on ocean farming and kind of make this technology open source so that anybody could download it, anybody could adapt it to their own use. And start, you know, entering into these types of fisheries management projects and businesses. So we're really excited about that. We're waiting on word to see if we get funded for that. And in the meantime, we're busy, you know, looking at other opportunities to bolster this segment because it's got a lot of promise.
Great. Got anything else to add about it? I mean, once again, that's a bad question, but I'm at the end of the question, so do you have anything
else? Let me see. Let me just kind of look through, because I know you can edit this kind of stuff around.
Right.
Maybe just a quick run through of you know, a couple of paragraph run through of what's on here, and then shall I talk about, you know, stay tuned for the next one as well, the next podcast? Introduce that?
Sure.
Okay.
Right. So I'm just going to ask you, well, you know, can you tell us what's on the website? And then you can talk about it.
Okay.
And then mention the upcoming one. And because we're down to 6.5 minutes. So, okay.
We can get this done.
I'll give myself a little space here. And then, like, can you tell us some of the things that are on the website?
Absolutely. You just go to the ATRA website, attra.ncat.org, and it's right there on the main page. You can click on it, and we've got three sections on ecological seafood and aquatic plant farming. We've got one on sustainable wild capture fisheries, and also we've got a page dedicated to funding resources for business and project startup. So, again, it really is a good clearinghouse for folks who are looking to start an entrepreneurial project, and in addition, there's videos, you know, videos from noted aquaculturists and fisheries ecologists on ocean ecology, different types of research and extension that's going on, and we've got numerous manuals that are linked that you can basically learn production how-to information on how to, you know, develop a finfish system or how to grow aquatic plants. What are the policies? What are the regulations? How about some aquaculture budgets, some business planning resources, and even things on small-scale aquaculture. Whenever you look at the Wild Capturies page, there's a lot of stuff in there on permits and licensing, how to get started, you know, what do you do if you want to be a commercial fisherman? What's the avenue of getting in? What's the best way to do it? What are the things I need to know? How about equipment? And then, of course, on the funding resources, there's some really good links to ways to help you with your business planning or startup capital in getting going. So I welcome people to look at it, and they can give me a call. My email address is there, and you know, I'd be really happy to speak with you about, you know, whatever's going on and whatever types of projects or ideas that you have. That's what we do here at ATRA. And I will say that we're going to be having another podcast on June 6th, And at that one, Bryn Smith will be joining us, and he's going to be kind of going into a little bit more detail. You know, I kind of introduced him today, but he's going to go into some detail on 3D ocean farming and kind of his philosophy and in how you can get involved. So it's a pretty exciting new project area for ATRA, and we're looking forward to the direction that it can take us.
That's great, and I'm really looking forward to Mr. Smith's talk. That should be really interesting. Well,
oh yeah,
thank you.
And he captivates an audience.
Oh, does? Okay. Well, thanks, Lee, for taking the time and talking about this today. It's a pretty exciting new development for ATRA, and as you said, you can find it on the ATRA website, which is www.atra.ncat.org. And when you get to the home page, just scroll down a little bit and you'll find it there. So, all right, Lee, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. It was great to talk with you.
See you later.
All right. Bye.
All right, I think that's probably good. So I'll edit it together and I'll send you a link when
I get
it
sound good.
Together. Yeah. Well, I'm not worried about you. You sounded good. I sort of sound like I'm on meds or something, but I think you sounded great. So yeah, great. Like I say, I should have it done tomorrow.
Good.
Unless something else comes up, and if it does, I'll let you know.
Well, I'm glad we did this one first. I was going to do Bryn first, but having got one under my belt, this is my first podcast ever. So now that I think I have a better idea of it whenever we bring Bryn on.
Right. And just, there's lots of stuff involved in it, you know, keeping an eye on the clock and all that stuff, which, like I say, if when you have him on, if we need more time, we can do it. We just would have to, it's a pain in the ass, but we would have to wait a half hour to call back in.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll see if I can.
Or actually that might not be true. I might be able to do it right in a row. But anyway, we can work that out. If you know, you might talk to him ahead of time and see if he thinks he's going to need more than that. Because it's a very interesting
subject.
I really am interested.
Well,
in him.
And it is. And whenever you get him on, it's gonna be pretty. I mean, my first conversation, we talked for a solid hour, you know, on the phone, so he can do it, and he. Speaks on this all over the country, and so he's just going to go. And I'll probably give him two or three questions and ask for some clarification and let him go. You know what I mean? So,
all right. Well, I think I better end the episode before it does something to me. So,
sounds good. And edit all this after stuff out.
Right. So, all righty. I'll talk to you later then.
All right, Rich. Thanks so much for doing this for me.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. I really appreciate the enthusiasm on the podcast. So I will talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.